we really need an excuse to talk to our good friend Jeff Spurgeon from WQXR, our sister station here at WNYC. What a great idea you've had.
It's a month-long festival called Bachstock, 30 Days of Peace and Music. Everybody needs a gimmick. We found a great one, but a great guy to do it with, because Bach just goes on and on and on.
You could fill 10 months of Bach.
It's really true.
Why do you love this?
This is great music because it somehow manages to reach deep inside us, but has stuff that satisfies the intellect, too. And it also is just pretty. If you put it on, it's pretty. So it's full-service music. Nothing else like it.
Deep structure. I love the puzzles that are in the fugues, the orchestral suites that have weird, strange modulations.
And what Bach apparently was able to do was he thought in four or five or six different lines at once. He didn't write down one line then figure out the harmony. It just sort of all came out of this genius brain of his.
When he was writing, half the time he was improvising the whole thing simultaneously.
And he was busy at home making children,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
So talk
exactly.
About a full life.
All right, let's hear another one.
All right, let's tackle an unaccompanied cello sonata. This is just one of the most famous pieces of Bach there is. It's just one line, but we hear all the harmony in it. We don't mean to.
Because he wrote it for a space.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, he wrote it for a space so the echo makes the chord, so you hear the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's just beautiful. And it sings, all of this stuff is happening at one time, but what you feel is just the warmth of this great big fat cello sound.
Who is that playing?
It's Yo-Yo Ma. Not so bad.
And of course, Rostropovich did this.
And Casals, who found the things and made them popular, and that recording's still in print, too. People can't get enough of these works.
So amazing.
A couple of things are happening here.
Yeah.
One, this is a lullaby, but it's about death, and Bach knew about that. He had 20 children. Only 10 of them survived to adulthood. So if you're in grief or mourning, Bach can comfort you because he's been there. The other thing that's happening here, as Thomas Kvasthoff sings, is the other great thing I think about Bach, which is that most of it is a dance. So there's a dance in almost every piece of Bach, and if you play it right, it's going to dance.
Well, so many of her are literally dance suites.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he experimented with dance forms all the time.
Yeah.
But Bach almost always is swinging one way or another. Take, for instance, the Brandenburg Concertos, which are, again, this failed resume that he sent off to a minor prince in Berlin who never answered him. And these things lay unused for five or six generations. And then somebody picked them up. But I love the conversation that the instruments have with each other. And they're also always dancing, which you don't think of when you think of German Lutherans from the 18th century.
Right.
But there they are, dancing all the time.
They had to get it out somewhere.
Yeah. I think so.
So we're going to be doing a show together, right?
Yeah. The Academy of Ancient Music is bringing their new performance of the four Bach orchestral suites to Carnegie Hall. And you and I will be there to present it on the radio.
And we didn't even have to practice.
That's the sweet part about this job.
Jeff Spurgeon from our sister station WQXR and I will be at Carnegie Hall on Friday celebrating Bach this entire month. What a great idea.
Thanks, John.